Hey Mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I am so pumped that you are here listening to this episode today because it is a very special day. One of the things that I really wanted to get more serious about this year when it comes to the podcast is bringing more guests on the show. As much as I absolutely love being able to share all of my thoughts and insight and things I'm learning, I also know the value in bringing people on to share their wisdom and their knowledge with you as well and introduce you to new voices that you can listen to and learn from. And so I am so excited that today is our first guest episode of the year. We've got my friend Leisha from the Happily Hormonal Podcast here with us, and I am just so pumped to hear what she has to say and share with us today. So without further ado, let's dive in. Leisha, welcome to the Joy-Filled Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so, so excited to get to talk with you today. Tell us about Happily Hormonal. What inspired you to start a podcast? Why hormones? Why? I know a lot of times we don't put happy and hormonal in the same sentence. So tell us about what inspired you and just about your podcast and about your journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation. Yeah. And you already made me like giggle inside because the name of my podcast is obviously kind of it's supposed to be kind of funny and yeah, kind of where you're
it catches your attention. You're like, wait, what?
Right. Exactly. So the Happily Hormonal Podcast, I just recently started several months ago. And it really is an extension of what I've already been doing. So a quick little background on me is that I am a longtime registered nurse. I worked in the hospital about 10 years and I've been out of the hospital. I think it's 4 years actually coming up in January. And so I haven't worked in the hospital at all in several years. And when I was working in the hospital, there was so much that I did like about it. I felt like I could help people. I was there for them when they were hurting. And there was a lot that I also didn't like. I felt like I saw people coming back again and again, really just getting worse in some ways. And I really didn't feel like I had the time to spend with them to truly make a difference and an impact. I felt like I was just running around in circles a lot of the time because it's so busy. And so with that being said, I started to look for kind of like what the next thing was for me. And I've always been really interested in nutrition. And I haven't always been interested in natural health, actually. But with some of my own hormone journey, with some of my own health journey, and then my little girl, when she was little, she had some health problems, like some asthma and things like that. And I was just like, this is not okay. Like, this is not normal. And I kept being told that it was, and it was fine. And she just needed medication. And that was really the turning point for me. Like, I did some research and like some work on my own for my stuff. But when they told me my little girl just needed to be sick, I was like, we're done here. I'm not doing this anymore. And so thankfully, I was able to find some help with functional practitioners. And then I realized that that's really what I wanted to do. So I got a certification in functional diagnostic nutrition, which I chose because I could do lab work as well as like the nutrition and functional piece. And that felt really good for me as with my background as a nurse. So with all of that being said, fast forward several years, I started kind of like more generally and then moved into hormones because I found that I so enjoyed working with women and working with moms, and hormone problems are something that comes up all the time, especially after babies, sometimes before babies too, but especially after babies. And so I have just found my little happy place talking about hormones and periods. And my favorite thing is when people try to tell me something's going to be TMI and I'm like, really? Like, do you know what I talk about all day?
You're like, try me.
Right. Exactly.
I love that. I love that so much. So you have said before that your cycle is your superpower. So talk to us about that. what can we do to get to that place? I know for me currently, as we record, I just like a week and a half ago had my cycle return for the first time postpartum. It's been 13 months. And so I am like, it's been so long since I've been a menstruating woman. I feel like I'm relearning everything after every baby. I feel like I have to relearn everything. So tell us about how can our cycle be our superpower?
Yeah. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. I think our babies must be really similar ages because mine is 14 months now.
Wow.
And I also just got my period back like last month. I've had one period since he's been born. And so interestingly enough, I was telling my husband one day, I was like, this is crazy. Like, it's been 2 years since I've had a period. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what it's like to be a period coach who doesn't have a period? And he was like, obviously not. No.
Right. No, can't relate.
Can't relate to that. But it's really been an interesting process because with my other kids, when I was in that phase of nursing and not having a period, I was like, sweet, this is great. I don't want a period. It's fine. But in between my second and my third, I really did get to the place where I felt like my cycle was a huge part of me. Mm-hmm. And knowing each of my phases and what to expect and knowing when I was ovulating and really like using our period as some people will refer to it as like a fifth vital sign. It really is like a monthly health check. And so not having that, I really felt like a piece of me was missing this time, which is so interesting. And then when I got my cycle back, of course, you always kind of wonder, like even as a period coach, I don't have bad periods anymore, praise the Lord. But even, you know, if you're like, it's been 2 years, like, is it going to be fine?
Yeah.
It was literally like perfect. And it was so, it was great. It was so fun to be back to that place and be, and just realize like I didn't have a cramp. I didn't even like know it was coming. It wasn't super heavy. Like everything was, I did actually know it was coming because I knew I'd ovulated. But other than that, I didn't know. So anyway, all that to say, like there is so much hope. And I think that even just the concept that periods are, that have to be painful or they have to be bad. And especially like after babies, we kind of expect them to be. They really don't have to be. And so when I talk about my cycle being my superpower, I really think that it comes from just something that I really love to teach is awareness about our own bodies. And our cycles are a big piece of being able to be aware of what's going on and using those weekly and monthly cycles that we go through, we can really tell a lot about what's going on in our bodies and we can respond to that in a way that helps us move forward with better health.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like our culture, our society has really done women and girls a disservice when it comes to knowing our periods and our cycles. You know, you get your period when you're 12 or 13 or however old. And if you have cramps, you're given Midol. If you have it, you're slapped on a medication, you're given these tampons that have all these hormone disruptors in them that you're putting inside your body, you're all these things. And so I feel like for us now, our generation of mothers who have spent so many years maybe on birth control or maybe fighting against our periods rather than embracing it, I feel like for a lot of us, it's like, where do I even start? Like what, this is all overwhelming. And I've spent so many years fighting against my period and hating my period. So what are some practical things? Like, is it practical, like changing your diet, doing these things, doing those kinds of things? Is it like mindset work? What are some practical things to kind of get to that place of embracing your cycle and being excited about your cycle and working with your cycle that we can do?
There's so much there. So be prepared for 7 hours of answers. I'm just kidding.
I'll pull up grab my blanket, get cozy. I'm ready to listen.
Perfect.
Coach me.
Perfect. Okay, so I think there's a couple places that I want to start with this question. The first thing is you're never going to love your period and love your cycle if it's terrible. I'm not saying if you have terrible cramps, if you have acne, if ovulation is terrible, if your mood is off, like you're not going to love your period and you're not going to love your cycle in that place. So I'm not saying like just suck it up and love it even if it's terrible. Mm-hmm. My message to start with is that it doesn't have to be that way and you don't have to take birth control for it to be better. So I always like to start there. I think that understanding what is normal versus what is not normal is really important too. And so we're told, so I think there's a big difference between common and normal. So it's really common to have PMS and to be crabby and irritable before your cycle. It's really common to have a lot of cravings. It's really common to have painful periods, heavy yeah. periods, bloating, like all the things mm-hmm. around your period. And it's also really common to have breakouts, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. have breast tenderness. There's a lot of things that are common. None of those are normal and healthy. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, wow. that is a sign that your body is telling you something's a little bit off. And one of the things that I focus on the most is being able to create safety in your body. And that seems like a really big concept where you're like, okay, but hold on, where do I even start yeah. with that? The reason, though, that I start there and that I don't just focus on your hormones as a tiny little piece of the puzzle is because when your body is in a place where it's probably undernourished, where you have a lot of stress, maybe you're not getting sleep, maybe you're not getting time outside, like a lot of those things that we know to be basics, but also we don't do them because we're mm-hmm. too busy. All of those things are going to tell your body that things are not safe. And when your body is in a place where it's surviving and things are not safe, it will never, ever prioritize hormone balance. Because why? Why would you need to prioritize your wow. hormones being balanced and having a baby when you're running from a bear? Is kind of the like cliche wow. example.
Yeah.
So wow. that's one of the first places that I would start, is just assessing like, how are you actually doing in your life with your stress, with your nutrition? It doesn't mean you have to change every single thing at once to make a difference. There's a lot of small changes you can make that will make a difference. But just realizing like the way you're living, the way you're eating, all of those things are going to impact your period. And there's multiple ways that it impacts your period. So what I was talking about is your stress hormones affect your sex hormones like estrogen and progesterone. Mm-hmm. But your stress hormones also affect your blood sugar balance, which continues that stress pattern. They also affect your detoxification. If your blood sugar balance is off, you're not going to be detoxifying as well because your liver is going to be overloaded with trying to do all the things. And so there's a lot of pieces there. But I think that awareness is really like the most basic place to start, and realizing if you're having these symptoms, your body is telling you something, and starting to ask what it's telling you. And starting to ask when it's telling you things in your cycle. So I love to start with tracking your cycle just a little bit more in a focused way than just mm-hmm. putting your period in an app and then expecting that it'll know everything else about your cycle. It can work that way. If you have a really regular cycle that's 28 days every month and you always ovulate right in the middle, then great. It's going to probably predict that really well. But if your cycle is anything outside of that, often it's not going to predict that very well. And so you may think you're ovulating when you're not. You may not be ovulating. You may have a period that feels late when really it's not late. You just ovulated later. There's a lot there that you can start to learn about your body by just – you can start by tracking your cycle by putting your period in an app. But then you can also start to pay attention to more of your body's signs that you're getting close to ovulation or you're getting close to your period. You can also track temperatures. I think that's a really great place to start. That's not just for people who are trying to get pregnant or trying not to get pregnant, yeah. which, I mean, we're all either one of those, right? Like trying right. or trying not to.
yeah.
But with that being said, like even if there's not a risk of pregnancy or that's not something in your mind, it is something that can be really helpful, is tracking your cycle and starting to know your body better. So that's probably the like very first thing that I would say, is tracking your cycle and then just getting really honest with yourself about like how are you doing with nourishment and stress and like that big perspective on your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's so good. I've noticed that is huge in my own life, like with my cycle returning and things like that. I was more intentional to track things and be aware of things and, you know, write down how am I feeling today. And so now I feel like I have this starting point and I'm like excited for the next cycle because I'm like, how can I support my body more? What foods can I eat to support myself to, you know, balance my energy? Because that's the big thing for me, is I feel like I'm like dead weight on the couch when I am, starting my cycle. So anyways, I love that. Track your cycle. That's a great, great place to start. But because yeah, I feel like it can be so, so overwhelming, especially if you are someone who doesn't have a super regular cycle or knows that they might be experiencing some hormone imbalance and things like that. If you've been around for any length of time, you know that my skincare routine is so sacred to me. As a busy mama, it's hard to find time to take care of myself, but doing my skincare routine at the end of the day is something I look forward to every single day. It's like a little pocket of joy in my day, and we are all about finding those little pockets of joy here at Joy Filled. And that is why I have loved and used Primally Pure for years. Primally Pure's clean, non-toxic skincare is safe, effective, and has me feeling like I just came out of the spa every single night. Plus, my skin has never looked better. Primally Pure's variety of skincare collections makes it so simple to ensure you are using products that are targeted to your specific needs. Treat yourself to some new skincare and create another pocket of joy in your day with Primally Pure. Head to the link in the episode description and use code JENNA10 to save. So for someone that's just like brand new to this world of kind of natural, I say not birth control, but just maybe I think that's the term that people use, even though it's not birth control. It's just knowing your cycle and your ovulation, all of that. For somebody who's brand new, how do we know if we are experiencing hormone imbalance? And then once we know, what do we do? Are there tools that we can use? Are there, you know, do we need to go and see a practitioner of some kind? Like, where do we start in this whole world of natural family planning, things like that, however you want to say it?
Yeah. So if you're just starting out tracking your cycle, I really like the Kindara app. Okay. That's where I started years ago when I really had zero idea about my cycle. And by the way, guys, I have not been a hormone nerd for very long, like maybe like 6 years or something like that. When I first got pregnant with my daughter, it was because I was tracking my period in an app and the app said I wasn't ovulating and my cycles were irregular and I had no idea that was going to be a problem. So just so you know, that's where I've come from. And I started using the Kindara app to track, and I like that because it gives you more data that you can track. So tracking your temperatures is really helpful. What you normally see is in the first half-ish of your cycle, you'll have a lower range of temperatures. So like, I'm just going to use numbers for example. This is not going to be your numbers necessarily, but say the first half of your cycle, you're like 97.3 to 97.5. And then you notice that one day you jump up to 98 and you stay 98 to 98.2 the rest of your cycle. Ish, somewhere around there. There's going to be outliers, but that's how you know that you have ovulated, because that second half of your cycle, when you have progesterone in your system, which only happens when you're ovulating, you're going to have a higher temperature. So just even tracking your temperatures in Kindara can be really helpful, and then tracking periods in there as well. And you can also track cervical mucus. And if you want kind of the deep dive on that and you're like, okay, this is really interesting, the Kindara app has a knowledge base in it, which I think is so helpful. And so that's where I really started to learn. And then there's also a book that's like a pretty hefty book, but super worth it. That's called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. So even again, if you're not trying to get pregnant, this is a book that really will help you understand your cycle and what's going on in your body. So then the other part of your question was, how do we know if you're having hormone imbalances? That's where you start to just, those are the things that I mentioned before, like the painful periods, especially in feeling really tired, can be a sign of hormone imbalance, but it doesn't have to be. That can be more of a blood sugar thing. It can be a nourishment thing. It can be a mineral depletion, which we can talk about all of that here in a minute. But really just noticing those symptoms, even like headaches at certain parts of your cycle, all of those things are usually signs that your hormones are imbalanced. And often This is the most common. Often estrogen is either being produced in too high of amounts, and there's many reasons for that. Stress can be a reason for that. Plastics, toxins in our environment, specific foods. There's lots of reasons estrogen can be produced too much, but also sometimes our bodies are just not processing it and getting it out very well either. And so estrogen dominance in that second half of your cycle is often where we see those symptoms, like the painful periods, the PMS, like all of those things. And how I like to explain it is, if you're having like very gentle waves throughout your cycle of your mood changing a little bit, or just feeling like more like you want to be around people at certain phases versus not at certain phases, that's very normal, like gentle waves. huge roller coaster ride waves, that's not normal. And that's not where you want to be with your energy, with your moods, and even with your symptoms. So if you kind of think about it and you're like, oh no, I'm definitely on the roller coaster, then that's probably a sign that your hormones are imbalanced. And then where do you start? I always love to start with nourishment because, especially for busy moms, I find that this is the piece that's usually missing. Even for the moms who are like eating clean and exercising and pretty consistent with it, we have such an overwhelming like diet culture mindset, yes. No matter how much we may or may not have tried to get out of that or may not even be aware of it. But I think that it's really looked down upon for us to feed ourselves enough and feed ourselves well. And it's really like almost like a power symbol if you're like, oh, I don't really eat, or like I only eat half the day and intermittent fasting, or like I'm not actually a human. I don't need food. Like I'm some sort of
superhuman.
Something like super. Yeah, I'm superwoman. I don't need food. I don't need sleep. I don't need all those things. And the truth is we do need those things. And so when you see, if you're seeing signs of hormone imbalance, the reason that nourishment is such a big piece is going back to the liver, for one thing. Also your thyroid function, those things are both really important for hormone balance and for your metabolism. And so your metabolism is kind of like the culmination of many different body systems and organ processes, but your adrenal glands, your thyroid, your sex hormones, your gut, your liver, all of those are pieces of the metabolism. And often when we are in this place of undernourishing, whether that's just not getting nourishing foods or whether that is not eating enough times throughout the day, not eating soon enough in the day, not eating consistently, like there's multiple layers of what could be happening there. When we're in that place, our organs are not getting what they need nourishment-wise, minerals, nutrients to function well. And so your metabolism will slow down if you're not getting what you need. And that's where we see low thyroid function and sluggish energy and like low blood sugar, like all of these different things. And so your metabolism is kind of like the master of all of the different organ systems in your body. And your metabolism needs nourishment and your liver needs nourishment to be able to be balanced. And so that's why I'm talking about food here. If you're like, okay, but I think I just need like a happy flow pill or something, like, sorry, that's not actually going to work if you're not being
Supplements are,
and I would love it.
Not replace your food.
Yeah. Right. I would love it if the Happy Flow supplement really would fix all your problems, but there's a reason that you have symptoms. Yeah. And so we always want to go back to the why.
Yeah. And I think symptoms can be, it can kind of feel, well, for one, we've lived with them for so long. So we're used to them. They're normal in our life, even though we've learned that they're not normal. They're just common. And I think it can be scary to try to attempt. It's always scary learning something new. And it's always scary embarking on a new journey. And I think for a lot of moms, it just can feel like, I am so busy. I am so run dry. I don't have the energy to learn this, to put effort into this. That's how I've caught myself feeling sometimes. But then I just have to kind of remind myself, like, I can't afford not to learn how to nourish my body because I have 3 kids and they're only getting older. They're only taking more of my energy. It's only the demand is only getting bigger as they get older. And so I can't afford not to. And so that's why I love having this conversation because it's something that I have been quietly learning about, this whole topic of nourishment and metabolism and supporting my hormones with food and even, you know, choosing exercises and workouts that are metabolically supportive. And I've always been one to choose a cardio workout because I feel like that's what's gonna like make me lose weight faster. But I've since learned that I need strength training and I need things like that that are a little bit, you know, less impactful on my body, but will stand the test of time and benefit me long term because I'm building muscle and also working out to support the things that I'm doing, lifting my kids, bending over to do like doing the things that support my life. And so it really is a mindset shift that we have to make and a priority that we have to choose as moms. And I think if you're feeling discouraged or if all of this feels overwhelming, I would just say same. First of all, it is a little bit overwhelming. But also take a chance on yourself. Take a chance on putting yourself and your nourishment and your health first, and watch how it benefits the rest of your family and the rest of your life and the rest of your home. Like, we here are all about joy-filled lives, living our best, fullest lives as stay-at-home moms. And this is a part of that. Neglecting, it's not a badge of honor to neglect your health. It's not a badge of honor to skip breakfast and to only eat, you know, the chicken nugget scraps. Like, it's so common. Like, Instagram mom culture is so like, oh, this is all I eat for lunch. It's just like 5 cups of coffee a day and the leftover chicken nuggets on my kids' plate. And it's like, no, we can do better. So we talked about metabolism, which is another thing I wanted to kind of shift into nourishment. So I love that you just kind of shifted right into nourishment and foods. So how can we use food to nourish our metabolism? Like, what, like, really, I am one that I really like practical, like, give me a step-by-step guide and I will follow it. And so how can we, like, breakfast, what, how can we set up our plates? Like, what do we need to be eating to nourish our metabolism, to nourish our bodies? Give us some just practical tools and tips when it comes to food.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the practical too. So I know that it can feel overwhelming because it feels like you're probably going to have to change everything if what you're doing now isn't working. That's not necessarily true. Now, if you are the Instagram mom who's drinking 5 cups of coffee and only eating 2 chicken nuggets, you are going to have to change everything.
Time for a lifestyle overhaul.
Right, exactly. So one of my favorite things, I'm going to give you just a couple tips that I always start with, and they truly make a big difference. So if you're listening and you're like, okay, I just need to start with like 1 to 2 things, like truly do start with these for a couple weeks and see how you feel. Almost every single time, you're going to feel a difference. And then that gives you the little bit of like motivation and joy to be like, okay, yes, like something is working. I can do the next step. And so my very first thing is eating breakfast within 30 minutes of waking up in the morning. I will hit on that again and again and again because it truly works. Now, the first question I always get is, well, I'm not hungry in the morning. That is actually a sign that your metabolism is slowed. It's a sign that your thyroid is not working well. Those hunger signals should be there. And I think taking cues from our kids is actually really great too, because they haven't been indoctrinated with what they should do or shouldn't do. If you notice kids, they are often like hungry right away in the morning. My kids are like, hi, mom, I'm ready to eat.
What are you feeding me?
And I'm like, hold on. Hold on. I need to think for a second. And so like thinking about eating something within 30 minutes of waking up. And I always, always recommend eating carbs and protein together. When I'm talking about carbs, I mostly get pushback on that because everyone thinks of carbs as pizza and donuts. That's not what I'm talking about. Pizza and donuts are not going to be super nourishing foods for you unless they're like very, unless the ingredients are very high quality and you make them at home, they can be. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm really just talking more about really simple. So I like to use fruits and root veggies as most of my carbs. And then I'll use grains as kind of a secondary. I personally think that organic grains and mostly gluten-free are going to be best for most people, especially if you're in a place where you're, you know, having some symptoms of inflammation, you're having energy issues. A lot of times that really makes a difference is just not overdoing it on the grains. And it's not because grains are inherently bad, but our processed grains, like especially our processed wheat, has a ton of chemicals in it. It's really not made to be nourishing at all. And then it's also has a lot of synthetic vitamins added to it. And so staying away from that will make you feel better, even if that's the only thing that you do, and switching to organic, but really focusing on fruits and root veggies like sweet potatoes, carrots, beets, parsnips, white potatoes are also great. I know that they get a bad rap that they're not nutrient dense, but they actually are. They have a lot of nutrients in them. All of those things can support your body and fill in the gaps with nutrients if you swap in some of those root veggies for grains, because you're just going to be getting more nourishment from the same food or like the same, you know, portion of carbs, basically. So carbs and protein together always. I don't focus on fats because I find that when we're eating whole foods, often we're getting plenty of fats and most of our proteins are going to have fat in them. So having that fat is important, but a lot of times you don't really have to try for that. So carbs and protein together at breakfast, and then every 3 to 4 hours throughout the day, carbs and protein together. If you think about that and start to work on it for a couple weeks, you are very likely to see a big difference in your energy and then over time in your hormones as well, actually. So that's my very first place to start. And then I've kind of mentioned this, but the quality of your food is really important. And so if you are not in the habit of reading food labels, it can feel really overwhelming. But so much of the time when you pick up a food and you start to look at the label, there is a ton of stuff in there that you're not even going to know what it is. And so if you don't know what it is, it's probably a no. That's the easiest thing that I have to say about that. But if you're just looking at getting, you know, most of the time really simple whole foods like fruits and veggies and potatoes and sweet potatoes and rice, like you're not going to be getting a lot of extra chemicals and things. And then looking at the quality of like your meats and your dairy and trying to get that grass-fed and organic as much as possible, those two things will make a huge difference in the amount of nourishment that you're getting.
Yeah, that's so good. I have to ask purely for my own personal gain. So I feel like I am really good at breakfast and I'm also pretty good at dinner. Eating during the day, I'm not good at. What are your favorite easy mom, throw together really quick, like snack, lunch type pairings when it comes to that protein and carb? Like this is the missing link for me as I've been on this journey myself. I'm like, okay, can somebody just make me a downloadable guide of snacks? That's what I need.
Yes. Okay. So since you mentioned that, I actually do have a like easy carb and protein little infographic.
Of course if you want do. Me,
I will share that with everyone who's listening.
Oh,
that's
yes.
probably one of my client's favorite things. Yes, which is so funny because it really is so simple. So I will share that. We'll put that in the show notes.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. That has breakfast, lunches, and dinner, just kind of like really simple options. But I do want to address lunch for moms. So I really like having easy proteins in the house. And I am not here to tell you that you need to be perfect. I'm never perfect, never will be. We're just really making progress. Mm-hmm. And that's where we see change. And so I don't always have like the perfect organic homemade lunch. Mm-hmm. Also, I know my options and I know where to get options that are going to be really clean and still nourishing. So some of my favorites, I go to Costco a lot just because that's me. Yeah. I go to Costco a lot. So some of my favorites are from Costco, but things like low mercury tuna, I like that. Sometimes I'll get like even like canned salmon. You can make an easy like put some mayo and I'll put grated carrots in it and have it with crackers and maybe like some fruit. That's going to have carbs and protein. It's going to be filling. It takes like 2 minutes to make, or maybe 10 if your kids are crying. But like it's not super hard. I really find that having the easy proteins makes a big difference. So Costco also has, and I'm sure other places have, like chicken meatballs. I really like having those in the fridge because when I'm coming to the fridge and I'm like, ah, oh, shoot, there's nothing in here for lunch. Like I can have meatballs and I can make some rice or I can have some fruit on the side or I have some leftover sweet potato. Like that's really easy. Okay. Does it look fancy? No. Like it's literally carbs and protein and that's it. Also, I feel great when I eat that way. So it can be really simple. Even having like grass-fed burger patties in the freezer, things like that where you're just like, okay, I know that I have something I can pull out and put in a pan.
Yeah.
Even if it takes, you know, 5-10 minutes for that to cook, you can do that while you're doing something else and it's ready to go and it doesn't take a lot of time. So I love that. If you're a little more of like a DIY person or like you can do meal prep, then you can easily do like chicken breasts or ground beef at the beginning of the week and even put it in little individual portion sizes. I've done that in the freezer before for like postpartum time and that was amazing. So whatever you can do, whether you buy it or you make it yourself, like having those easy proteins, I find that the carbs are easier to make really quickly or to have leftover. And you could also prep the carbs if you want to. If you're like, I want to have sweet potatoes and squash in the fridge for the week, great. That takes like not very long if you have an Instant Pot or an oven or like anything to cook in.
I love that. Thank you for just some easy ideas. I sometimes have this weird, I don't know if anybody else has this, but I have this weird mental block when it comes to like cooking things for lunch. I prefer not to because I'm cooking at breakfast, cooking at dinner. And so I'm just like, just want to throw something together. But often I end up with like only a carb or just eating a banana. And so those easy protein ideas, I am definitely grateful. And that even if I'm the only one that benefits from that, I thank you because
you're welcome.
I feel like eating throughout the day is such a pain point for so many moms because we're so focused on the caregiving and the taking care of the home and feeding our kids. And we just end up we forget about ourselves a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also just like, especially in this season of winter and fall, mm-hmm. you can like soups are so easy to warm up the next day as a leftover.
Yeah.
So like, make a lot of soup.
Yeah.
You're going to get bone broth. You're going to get extra minerals. Like soups are generally very nourishing. So that's another easy one. And then even if you're like, I literally will not turn on the stove or like do anything to cook at lunch, like snack plates are really great too with like turkey and grass-fed cheese and like some fruits and some veggies. Like that is going to be less of a dense meal. So mm-hmm. it may not sustain you as long. But if you know that and you plan that you're going to need an afternoon snack, then you're good to go.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your insight. Okay, I have to ask before we wrap up, this has been so rich and I've learned so much from you in just this 30 minutes that we've been together. So I just have to ask for the mom who is listening, who is just constantly tired, knows she isn't eating enough, struggling, like does not feel her best, but is listening and maybe just feeling discouraged or feeling, I mean, I hope that we've given lots of starting places, but it's just feeling like I am so far gone. I don't know how to even start. What is your best piece of advice moving forward? She turns off this podcast episode. What is your best piece of advice for her?
I really think that it's just going to be realizing that simple can be so effective. Mm-hmm. And I think we a lot of times get really paralyzed with perfection and we want to do things perfectly and we want to, you know, start on January 1st and never make a mistake again. And I have been in that pattern so many times and it never, ever has worked for me. So when I've started to just choose one thing and get consistent mm-hmm. with that and give myself the grace to be consistent but not perfect, that has made a huge difference. And it makes a huge difference for my clients too. So I think just starting, like start eating a little more consistently. Start looking at, are you getting carbs and protein together? Are you eating whole foods most of the time? That's going to make a really big difference. Mm-hmm. And then I have tons of resources for like all the next steps and all the things, but like that's a perfect place to start.
Yes. Tell us where we can find you, where we can grab some of those resources. I know that you have courses and you have tons of resources along with your podcast, which in and of itself, the free content on your podcast is so, I keep saying this, but it's so rich and good. And I have learned, like I binge listened to your podcast and have learned so much. And it's just so easy to implement. I feel like I've learned a lot from a lot of different voices in this like metabolic nourishment world. And I feel like you just break it down so well and so easily. So tell us where we can find you. Where can we learn from you? Give us your info.
Thank you so much. That always just like lights me up to hear that. And even someone saying like they binge listen to my podcast, I'm like, what is this life? Like someone wants to listen to my podcast. Like I even have old friends who are like, oh, I'm not quite caught up. And I'm like, you're amazing that you want to listen to my podcast. Like it's so cool. And I have so much fun with just talking about hormones over there. And so yes, number one is definitely the Happily Hormonal podcast. It's on all the podcast places. Definitely start there. I have a couple of free guides in the show notes for different episodes. So I have a guide. I have a couple of different guides. I have one for kind of like syncing with your cycle. I have another one for when you actually have hormone imbalances and you want to know where to start with food and with supporting your liver. I have a free guide for that. I'm also on Instagram. sometimes, and I'm at Leisha Drews on Instagram. And then if you're looking for like the next steps and really in depth, I do have a course called Nourish Your Hormones that is truly, you said a little while ago, like just give me the step by step so I know what to do. Like that's exactly what my course is the step by step to focus on nourishment, to look at the other areas in your lifestyle that might be affecting your hormones, and to just implement it in a way that is simple and on your own time so that it doesn't feel like so much pressure. And then I mentioned before, I do functional lab work and one-on-one coaching with a few clients at a time. So that's an option too. And so, yes, like you said, I have a lot of resources. I like to do all the things. And so I like to make sure that there's options for everybody.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you again so much for the work that you're doing. You are changing lives with the work that you're doing, and you are helping moms show up for our brightest lives, which is, I think, what we all want to do. It's what we all strive to do. And this is a piece of our lives that is so big and often so overwhelming and hard to tackle when it comes to hormones and nourishment. And, you know, especially with diet culture and like, are carbs bad? Should I only be eating lean meat? What should I be eating? What should I be doing? How should I work out? It can feel so overwhelming. So I just thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for just speaking truth and getting us back to the simple, easy, implementable things to nourish our bodies and understand our bodies. I'm so grateful for what you're doing. And I know that learning from you is going to help so many moms. So thank you for being here on the podcast today. Thank you for the work that you're doing. We are so, so blessed to be able to learn from you today.
Thank you so much. You're so sweet. I'm like all just glowing over here.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed getting to listen and learn from Leisha today as much as I enjoyed getting to sit down and chat with her and learn from her. She is such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to hormones and metabolism and periods and all the things. And so I am just so grateful that she joined us today to share a little bit of all that she knows. And I wanted to share with you, she mentioned in our conversation that she has a free download that it will help with meal planning. It's a balanced meals download. And what it is it has breakfast, lunch, and dinner options that are good carb and protein pairing. So if you're looking for really tangible, practical next steps, this would be your next step. She sent it to me after we got done chatting, and I've used it over and over again when it comes to my grocery planning because it just helps me, like it just makes it so easy. I don't have to think about, okay, what carb, what protein, how am I pairing those together? It's just done for you. So grab that free download. It's at the link in the show notes. And I also wanted to mention that Leisha has a course. It's called Nourish Your Hormones, and it really is a deep dive into hormones and periods and hormone imbalance and metabolism and how to eat to nourish your metabolism and nourish your hormones. It's a deep dive. She is so educated. She knows what she's doing. She knows her stuff. And it is an awesome way to get further coaching from her. And we were chatting after we got done with our conversation, and she actually offered to give us just exclusive to this community, a discount code on her course. So you can use the code Jenna20 for 20% off her Nourish Your Hormones course. So if you absolutely loved this conversation today and a lot of what she said resonated with you and maybe started to tug at some of those pieces of your heart that you know you need to start focusing on and addressing, this would be an awesome thing for you to take advantage of. So grab Leisha's Nourish Your Hormones course at the link in the show notes and use code Jenna20 for 20% off. And I want to thank Leisha for giving us that code. I am so grateful, and I know that it's going to bless so many of the people in this community who are looking for practical and tangible next steps on our hormone healing, metabolism healing journey. So thank you, Leisha, for sharing your knowledge and for giving us that discount code. Again, All the things mentioned are at the link in the show notes. And as always, before we go, I would love to pray for you. God, I thank you for my sister, and I just lift her up, and I pray that this would be the year that her health becomes a priority. God, that we wouldn't buy into the dialogue that being a mom means we put our health last, and we don't take care of ourselves, and we don't have time to eat, and we don't have time to put effort into how we care for our body. Lord, I pray that this would be the year that we turn off that dialogue and we tune into you and what your word says about our bodies being temples and treating our bodies good and well, and that we would love our bodies enough to take care of them. God, I thank you for the opportunity to get to learn from someone new, and I just pray blessing over each and every sister wherever she's at. I pray that you would bless her and her home in Jesus' name. Amen. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.